We begin Beis Hashem, Masechta Erevin today. And there's a lot of introduction that we could give to Masechta Erevin. But I think we should more or less limit our words of introduction because we're limited for time to try to do the entire Daf Beis. Let's just mention that on a Daraisa level, as we learned in Masechta Shabbos, we have four Rishuyos, and Rishus HaYachid is an area that is Mukaf Mechitos. On a Doraisa level, if you have an area that's surrounded by three Mechitos, that's sufficient to generate a status of Rishus HaYachid. Not all agree with that, but that's pretty much the accepted opinion, that three Mechitos that surround an area on three sides sets up that area as a Rishus HaYachid, which means that you're allowed to carry inside that area, and that's the unique nature of Rishus HaYachid. If you have Rishus HaRabim, which is a much wider area, then you're not allowed to carry in that area with more than four Amos. Our Mishnah is going to discuss something called a mavui. A mavui, which we might call an alleyway, is an area into which two chatzeros spill in. So you have a chatzer, let's say, on your right side. That's a courtyard in front of two houses. So two houses share a common courtyard, and that courtyard spills into the mavui. And on the left side, likewise, you have two chatzeros, which means two houses into one chatzer, another two houses into another chatzer, and they all spill into a mavui. Now, our case of a mavui in this Mishnah is called a mavui sasum, which means that it's surrounded on three sides by mechitzos. On the fourth side, it's open. There's no mechitza. And it opens up into a Rishus HaRabim. Now, because you have these chatzeros, both on the right side and the left side, that are spilling into the mavui, so people in their homes go out of their homes into the chatzer, from the chatzer into the mavui, from the mavui into Rishus HaRabim, that becomes like a common area. The chatzer itself is common, because there are two houses that spill into a common courtyard, but that's only two houses. Here you have another chatzer, and perhaps another few chatzeres, and they're all converging onto this mavui, this alleyway. And therefore the Chachamim were afraid that people might mistakenly think that the mavui is Rishus HaRabim, because so many people access the mavui. And if that be the case, they might think that if you're carrying in a mavui, you're allowed to carry in Rishus HaRabim. Alternatively, Chachamim might have been afraid of something else. This is the Ritva's Shita, that since the Mavui spills into Rishus HaRabim, if somebody mistakenly thinks that the Mavui is Rishus HaRabim, because so many people are walking through this Mavui, then he may carry from the Mavui into Rishus HaRabim. But on a Daraisa level, since this Mavui is a Mavui Sasum, which means that it's surrounded by three, on three sides by Mechitzas, it's Rishus HaYachid. So on a biblical level, it's Rishus HaYachid. Imagine if somebody were to carry from the Mavui into the Rishus HaRabim, he would be violating a Melech HaDoraisa of Melech HaSotzah without even realizing it. So therefore, the Chachamim said, you're not allowed to be metaltel in the Mavui. You cannot carry in the Mavui. Again, on a Doraisa level, you'd be allowed to carry in the Mavui. The Rabbanan said that despite the fact that on a Doraisa level it's Rishus HaYachid, we're going to consider it as a separate entity, as if it were a quasi-Rishus HaRabim. We're not going to allow you to carry within the Mavui. And now what the Rabbanan do is they want to separate the Mavui and make it an area which is independent, or shall we say, cut off from the Rishus HaRabim. And what they did is, they required what's called a tikkun mavui. Tikkun mavui means hechsher mavui. They required something which will designate this mavui as a separate area. Now, although there's a Shita Beit Shammai, which we'll get to much later on, we're going to now learn according to Beis Hillel. And according to Beis Hillel, there are two ways of Hechsher or Tikkun Mavui. One is called a Korah, and that's going to be the main subject of our discussion today. And the other is called a Lechi. Whereas the Korah is horizontal, the Lechi is vertical. The Lechi is a very thin pole or protrusion that goes vertical, and it's on the side when you enter into the Mavui. And the Korah is a plank, so to speak, that goes across the two walls of the Mavui. It's laying, resting on the two walls of the Mavui. And either of these two methods, according to Beis Hillel, will suffice as a Hechsher Mavui. Either you set up a Lechi, or you set up a Korah. Now, the Mishnah is going to set up the requirements of the Mavui and the Korah for the Mavui on two different aspects. Number one, Gova. Gova means the height. And it's important that the Korah not be too high from the ground. And we'll see exactly how high it could be. That's going to be a machlokes between the Chacham, Rav Yudin, and Mishnah. And it shouldn't be too wide, meaning the opening of the Mavui should not be too wide. So let's begin the first Mishnah in Masechta Erevin. And we need a drum roll, or a seven-piece band. Anyway, the Mishnah says, Mavui shehu gavar lemala me'esrim ama yimait. If the Korah, that's how Rashi interprets the Mishnah, is placed higher than 20 amma from the ground, and exactly how large an amma is, that's going to be a sugya daf gimel. Let's assume it's either 5 tfachim or 6 tfachim, and we multiply that by 20 amma. Up to 20 amma is fine. So let's say you would place your mavui at a height exactly of 20 amma, that would be fine. If, on the other hand, the Korah is above 20 amma, then you might. The Mishnah tells us that we have to take this Korah and lower it and make sure that it's below rather than above Esrim amma. That's the opinion of the Chachamim, because if the Korah is above 20 amma, then it cannot serve to be matir the Mavui. And again, when we speak about Tikkun Mavui, we mean that without a Tikkun Mavui, the Rabbanan said you're not allowed to carry in a Mavui. With a Tikkun Mavui, you're allowed to carry in a Mavui. And assuming you're allowed to carry from your house into a Chatzer, that might require another Eruv. You're allowed to go from the Chatzer and carry into the Mavui. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Yehuda says there's no need to lower the Korah, even if the Korah is above 20 amma. And we'll have a whole discussion, how high could a Korah be according to Rabbi Yehuda, and what is the machlokas here between Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Mishnah goes on to talk about the width of the opening, what's called the Pesach HaMavui, Varachav, the Rochav, is Me'eser Amos Yemait. If it's wider than 10 Amos, then you're going to have to be Memait. You'll have to somehow close off some of the area in the entrance to the Mavui. We'll have a full sugi about how you do that. And the maximum width of the opening, the entrance to the Mavui, will be Eser Amos. Now, if the opening to the Mavui is more than Eser Amos, then it's no longer called a Pesach. Every Mavui has to have a Pesach, which leads you from Rishus HaRabim to enter into the Mavui. If, on the other hand, this is larger than Eser Amos, this opening, this the width of the entranceway, then we consider it what's called a Pirtza. Now, again, if I had a whiteboard, I would write these two terms on the whiteboard, because these are the key terms that we'll have to remember throughout Masechta Erevin. One thing is called a Pesach, and the other is called a Pirtza, Pei, Yud, Reish, Tzadi, Hei. Whereas a Pesach is valid, and every Mavui has to have a Pesach, a pirtza is not valid. And the answer is, the difference will be whether you could be masakin this mavui. If the mavui has an opening of 10 amos, but not more than 10 amos, then you could be masakin the mavui, you could be machsha the mavui with either a lechi or a korah. If, on the other hand, the opening, the width of the entrance to the mavui is more than 10 amos, that's called a pirtza. And a pirtza removes the status of a mavui, such that now a lechi and a korah will not serve to be matir. However, the Mishnah says that there is one case in which you can salvage the Mavui even if the entranceway into the Mavui is wider than 10 Amos, and that's called the Tzuras HaPesach. V'im yesh lo Tzuras HaPesach, afal pishu rocha me'asar Amos, eino tzorach lemait. Tzuras HaPesach is what's called lechi mikan v'korah mikan. So you have two vertical poles opposite each other, and a korah that's resting on these two poles in a horizontal height. And a Tzuras HaPesach has a much more profound status than just a lechi and a korah. A lechi and a korah are not exactly a mechitza. You're not really closing the fourth side, the opening, and making sure that this mavi is completely closed on all four sides. A Tzuras HaPesach, to some extent, is like a mechitza, because it has both the vertical poles and the horizontal pole. And as I said before, if it's a mechitza, then it closes up that fourth opening, that fourth area where it's open into Rishus HaRabim. The Mavui now is completely enclosed. And if it's completely enclosed, then the fact that the width is more than Eser Avos is irrelevant. Tanan Hosom. The Gemara now is going to compare the language of Ab Mishnah to a parallel Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Sukkah. Sukkah she gavoa lemala me'esrim ama psula v'Rabbi Yehuda machshir. So just like we have a machlokas here in Korah to be machshir a mavui between Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, where the Chachamim hold that lemala me'esrim ama, it's an invalid Korah, and Rabbi Yehuda says no. Even if it's lamala me'esrim ama, it's so too in the case of sukkah. If the schach is placed at a height which is more than esrim ama from the floor, from the ground, then the chacham say that's not a kosher sukkah, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, it's still a kosher sukkah despite the fact that the schach is above esrim ama. But the Gemara notices a difference in the language between our Mishnah in Erevin and the Mishnah at the beginning of Sukkah. Maishna gavi Sukkah detani psula. The Mishnah tells us that if the schach, according to the Chachamim, was placed above Esrim Amah, the Sukkah is psula. And here, gavi mavui tani takanta. The Mishnah doesn't say that the Korah is psula. Instead, the Mishnah says, yemait. Yemait means you have to lower the Korah and make sure that it's less than 20 Amah in a height above the ground. So the Gemara offers two answers. The first answer is Sukkah d'oraisa tani psula. Avol mavui d'rabbanon takanta. Tani takanta. Sukkah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Torah tells us in Parshas Emor that you have to sit in a sukkah. And there are various dimensions and requirements, regulations for a sukkah. That's all a d'oraisa. However, the requirement of tikkun mavui is all drabana. As we said before, on a d'oraisa level, you have a mavui sasum, which means it's closed on three sides with mechitzos, and therefore it's a rishus hayachid. You'd be allowed to carry on the Torah level in a mavui. The Rabbanan said no. And therefore, when it comes to the Rabbanan level, tani takanta, we don't know in the case of a drabanan of the existence of a korah to be matir or mavui. That whole entity is completely unknown to us. It's Torah Shebal Peh. It's not in the Torah Shebichsav. Sukkah is in Torah Shebichsav. So even before we get to the Mishnah at the beginning of Sukkah, we already know that a sukkah requires esrim ama. I'm sorry, a sukkah requires schach. That's what sukkah is. And now the Mishnah wants to tell you, under what situations do you passel the sukkah because the schach is too high from the ground. But the statement that a sukkah requires schach, that's a given, because sukkah is daraisa. Mavui, on the other hand, the whole entity of a tikkun mana to be machshir with a korah is all a rabbinic entity. So first tell me that there is such a thing as a mavui, and tell me that I have to be metakin a mavui, and if it's lamala me'esr mama, the only way I could be metakin the mavui is by lowering it mamayit. Iboy, same thing, Gemara offers a second answer. Bidoraisa nami tori takanta. The word miyamayit would also be appropriate for sukkah doraisa, just as it's appropriate for tikkun mana in the tikkun mavui in the case of a korah. Ella, why is it that the Mishnah at the beginning of sukkah avoids the language of yamayit? It's because sukkah the nefishin mile pasik v'tani psula. Mavui delom mefishe mile tani takanta. In the case of sukkah, there are many different regulations that have to be met in order for the sukkah to be kshera. And we'll mention a few examples as we go along. For example, obviously the schach can't be above 20 amah from the ground. Number two, you need 3 defanos. Nothing less than 3 will do. Or for example, there's a requirement in sukkah that the defanos be at least asar tfachim in height. Furthermore, there's a halacha requirement in sukkah that's got to be chamsa merubsa mitzelsa. So there are many, many different requirements in sukkah. So just to give you a takanta and say that you might, that would not be sufficient. We'd have to really give many, many different descriptions of how to get a sukkah kshera and fulfill all the requirements. When Rebbe writes the Mishnah, he applies the principle of li'olam yeshana l'talmida v'loshen k'tzara, meaning he looks for a short language, an abbreviated language, and the word psula is a general word that includes all the different kinds of psulim. So with one word, he really encompasses everything. However, in the case of mavui, lo nafish mili, there aren't too many requirements in a mavui. All we need is that the korah be less than 20 tfachim, tani takata. So the Mishnah tells you that if the korah was placed at a height above 20 tfachim, then takanta, you might just lower it. But in the case of sukkah, just to say you might, that wouldn't really guarantee me that the sukkah is kshera. There are so many different requirements in sukkah, you'd have to go through each one and give me the takanta for each one. So therefore, Rebbe, when he wrote the Mishnah, uses the generic term psula, and that encompasses all the different psula. Now, at this point in the Gemara wants to analyze the machlokas between Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Why is it that the Chachamim say that the maximum height of the Korah, in order to be metaki the Mavui, is 20 amah, not more than 20 amah? And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can go above 20 amah. And the Gemara is going to take this machlokas between Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda and put it into a broader perspective about the Mishkan and later on the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, the Mishkan in the Midbar. The Mishkan had what's called a Chatzar HaMishkan. That was the outer, so to speak, area of the Mishkan. And then you went into what's called the Heichal HaMishkan. In the outer area, which is called the Chatzar, that's where we had the Mizbeach, and that's where we had the Kiyar. But then you went into the inner part, the inner sanctuary of the Mishkan, and that's where you had the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbach HaZahav. In the Beis HaMikdash, we have something very parallel. We have a Heichal, and that Heichal has that same Kiddush of the Mishkan, because inside the Heichal there was the Menorah, and the Shulchan, and the Mizbeach, the Mizbach HaZahav. And then on the outside, you had something parallel in the Beis HaMikdash to the Chatzar Mishkan, and that's called the Azorah, and that's where the Mizbach HaNechoshes stood. Now, in order to enter into the Heichal at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you needed to go through an area called the Ulam. And the ulam was much taller and much higher in its entranceway than the entranceway into the Heichal. The Pesach HaHeichal was 20 amma above ground. The Pesach HaUlam was 40 amma above ground. Om Rav Yudam Rav Chachamim lo lamdu ela mipischo shel Heichal. The Chachamim decided that we should make an equation between a Pesach of a Mavui that lends itself now to Tikkun of a Korah and the Pesach of the Heichal. The Pesach of the Heichal was 20 amas high. So too, the Pesach of a Mavui, in order to be metakin it with a Korah, has to be no higher than 20 amma, because in the case of the Pischo Shel Heichal, if it would have been above 20 amma, it would not be a valid Pesach Shel Heichal. The highest area, the tallest gova of a Pischo Shel Heichal can only be 20 amma. Therefore, the tallest Pesach of a Mavui, say the Chachamim, could be only up to, but not beyond 20 amma. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo lomdu ela mipischo shel ulam. There was an ulam, you had to go through the ulam in order to enter into the Heichal, and the ulam had its own Pesach. The Pesach of the ulam was 40 amma. Disnan, we have a Mishnah in Masechta Midos, Pischo shel Heichal, Govo Esrim amma, Verochvo Eser amos. And those are going to be the dimensions of a Mavui. Vishal Ulam, however, the Pesach the Ulam was Govo Arboim Amma V'Rofo Esrim Amma. Ushneim, and both Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, Mikra Echad Darshu. They both derive their conclusions respectively from the same pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. And there in Perek Gimel, the Torah talks about Shchitas Shlomim, Karban Shlomim, and it says, Ushchato Pesach Oel Moed. And you will slaughter the Shlomim at the Pesach of the Oel Moed. And it means that you have a concept with regard to the Oel Moed in the Mishkan, which is called a Pesach. Rabbanan Savri, Kedushas Heichal Luchud, Kedushas Ulam Luchud. When we talk about a Pesach of an Ol Moed, which is the Pesach into the Heichal, again, at the time of the Mishkan, there was no Heichal, but there was a Pesach of the Ol Moed. So the Ol Moed was parallel to the Heichal, and it had a Pesach. And in the Beis HaMikdash, which we'll find out that the Heichal had a Pesach, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, which was 20 amma high, as we saw in the Mishnah in Midos, is Kedushas Heichal Luchud, Kedushas Ulam Luchud. When you enter into the Ulam, in order to get into deeper into the Heichal, you're in an area called the Ulam. That doesn't have the same sanctity and should not be equated with the Heichal itself. For example, the Avoda that's implemented in the Heichal cannot be kosher if it was implemented in the Ulam. The Ulam doesn't have the same status and the same sanctity. So if you're looking for a Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash that parallels the Oel Moed, about which the Torah says, Ushchato Pesach Oel Moed, there's a Pesach to the Oel Moed, then you're looking at the Pesach HaHeichal. Only the Heichal parallels the Kedusha of the Oel Moed in the Mishkan. The chiksiv, and therefore when we read the pasuk in Vayikra and it says Pesach Ol Moed, a Heichal ksiv. The Ol Moed, as we said, parallels the Kedusha of the Heichal. The Kedusha of the Ulam, that area, is inferior to the Kedusha of the Heichal. So that the Pesach Ol Moed is parallel to the Pesach of the Heichal. Rabbi Yehuda sover Heichal vi Ulam Kedusha achasi. Rabbi Yehuda holds that any avoda that requires, like Shchitas, let's say the carbon shlomim that requires a heichal, is that's the identical kedusha as the ulam. The ulam and the heichal have the identical kedusha, and therefore v'chiksiv pesach ol moed. When the Torah describes the pesach of ol moed, atchavayahu d'chiksiv, it's referring not just to the pesach heichal as the chachamim say, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, it refers even to the pesach of the ulam because both have the identical kedusha. That's one interpretation of the machlokes between Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. And now, the Gemara offers a slightly different version of the Machlokas. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that those avodos that require Heichal could not be kosher if they were implemented in the Ulam. So now we have to find a different explanation for Rabbi Yehuda why the Pesach Ha'ulam, since it's above Esrim Amo, it's still considered a Pesach. Midechsiv, because the Pasuk says, El Pesach Ulam Habayis. Now, this Pasuk, as you'll see in Tosus, Divrei Masel Dechsiv, doesn't really exist. There is no such a Pasuk. However, there are two Psukim in Yechezkel, which the Gemara is now combining. One Pasuk in Yechezkel says, Ulam Habayis, and the other one says Pesach Habayis. So we combine these two Psukim as if it said El Pesach Ulam Habayis. Now, based on this Pasuk, we see explicitly, says Rabbi Yehuda, that even the Pesach HaUlam is called a Pesach. And we know that the Pesach HaUlam was 40 Amos high. And therefore you see that the Torah considers a Pesach to be even a height of 20 amah. Therefore, when we get to the Pesach of the Mavui, it could be above 20 amah, it could be even 40 amah high. For Rabbanon, how did Rabbanon deal with this Pasuk, El Pesach Ulam Abayis? Iaviksiv, if we would have said El Pesach Ulam, then it would be clear that the Torah is, the Tanakh in this case, is considering an Ulam to have a Pesach. And the entranceway into the Ulam is called a Pesach. Kidukamrit, and then Rabbi Yehuda would certainly correct, and we could derive that a Pesach could be even Lamala Meyesrim Aval Hashta Dixiv. It says El Pesach Ulam Habayis. And therefore, the way we interpret with the extra word Habayis is Habayis Pasuach Li Ulam. In other words, the Pasuk is telling me that the Pesach of the Heichal is the Bayis that opens up into an Ulam, meaning that if you're in the Heichal and you want to get out of the Heichal, your exit from the Heichal is into the Ulam. But the Pesach HaBayis is really the Heichal itself. How do you get out of the Heichal? You go through the Pesach of the Ulam. But the Bayis itself and the Pesach of that Bayis is only the Heichal itself. So the Gemara asks, V'ha'kiksiv hai b'mishpon ksiv. How are you telling me that Pesach Ol Moed is going to teach you the height of the Pesach of the Heichal? The Heichal only existed in the Beis HaMikdash. And this pasuk that you're quoting, Pesach Ol Moed, that's in the Mishkan. So you seem to be confusing, in a sense, the Mishkan with the Mikdash. The Pesach of the Mishkan was only actually 10 amos high. And if you're learning the pasuk Shachtu Pesach Ol Moed, you're talking the Pesach of the Mishkan, and that was only 10 amos high. And now you're using this pasuk in order to jump fast forward to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash had a Pesach HaHeichal, which was 20 amos high. How do you make that equation? So the Gemara answers, Ashkan Mishkan de Ikre Mikdash, u Mikdash de Ikre Mishkan. We find in the Torah that the Torah calls a Mishkan a Mikdash, and the Torah calls the Mikdash a Mishkan, as we're going to explain in the sugi that we're going to learn now. And therefore, the Gemara is deriving from these names that are interchangeable that the dinim are also interchangeable. And whatever it says in the Mishkan, for example, v'shachto Pesach Ol Moed, it's as if it says v'shachto Pesach HaMikdash. So when we're talking about the Mishkan, we can plug in the Mikdash. And therefore, when it says Pesach Ol Moed, we can say it's the Pesach of the Mikdash, which, as we said before, the Pesach HaHeichal was 20 amos high. The Ilo Tema Hachi, now I'm going to prove to you that we derive conclusions and we equate the dinim of the Mishkan to those of the Mikdash. Because the Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, what are you going to do with Shmuel's statement that Karbano Shlomim Sheshchaton Kodem Psichas Dalsos HaHeichal Psulim? The halacha of Shmuel is that before you open the doors of the Heichal, if you were to shecht a Karban Shlomim, it would be pasul. Shenemar, because it says Ushchato. With regard to the Karban Shlomim, it says Shchato Pesach Oel Moed. And what does that mean? Pesach Ol Moed. The word Pesach means it's open. Bizman Shedalsel Sehechal Psuchim. Only when they've opened up the Hechal, then you can shech the Korban Shlamim. V'lo Bizman Shem Ne'ulim. But if the Dalsos HaHechal are locked, then the Shechita of the Shlamim is possible. I don't get it. How could Shmuel make any sense by quoting the Pasuk of Shchato Pesach Ol Moed HaKiksiv HaHi? That pasuk, the Mishman Ksiv. We want to know what's the law in the Beis HaMikdash if you shecht the Shlomim before the Dalsal Seichel are open. Elo, we have no choice but to assume the Ashkan Mikdash Dikri Mishkan U Mishkan Diikre Mikdash, that the laws of Mishkan and Mikdash are interchangeable. And when it says here v'shachato, u'shachato, Pesach Ol Moed, it's shachato, Pesach Heichal HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, well, how do you know that these two terms are interchangeable? Bishlam, I understand, Migdash Dikri, Mishkan. We have a pasuk in Vayikra Perkhavav that the Migdash is called the Mishkan. Dechsiv v'nasati Mishkani b'sochachem. And Rashi explains that there's no doubt that this pasuk is referring to the Beis HaMikdash, because this pasuk is describing a period of time in history when the Mishkan stood. This must be a divine promise for the future as a schar that we will be zoche to have a Beis HaMikdash. And yet the Torah used the word Mishkan to describe the Mikdash. So we see that the Mikdash is called a Mishkan. Ela Mishkan de Ikri Mikdash Minolan. Where do you find that the Mishkan itself is called a Mikdash? And the Gemara answers, if you're going to tell me based on a pasuk in Parashas Baalos, it says, "Vinasu hakasim nosei hamigdash veikimas hamishkan ad boam." So you see that the word migdash is used to describe the mishkan with regard to the nesia of the kahasim. They were the ones who were that branch of Shevet Levi were in charge of carrying the clay of mishkan. They're called nosei hamigdash. So you see that the Mishkan is called a Migdash, and now we turn to Daf Beis on the Beis. The Gemara answers, Hahu be our own Ksiv. The reason why, with regard to Bnei Ka'as, the Torah calls it Migdash, because they're carrying the Aron. And the Aron is Mekudash Yoser, it has a higher level of Kedusha than all the other Klei HaMikdash that were carried, because it had in it the Luchos HaBris. The Mishkan itself is not necessarily called a Mikdash. In this context, the Torah used the word Mikdash to tell you that the Nesias HaOron al Yidei HaKohos and Bnei Kohos is considered Mekudash Yoser. So the word Mikdash here in this pasuk, Veikimu, it says V'nasu HaKohosim Nosea Mikdash, is referring to the Aron. Take the word Migdash as a substitute for the word Aron. And the word Migdash here means Mekudash Yoser. It has an extra Yisaron of Kedusha. But the Mishkan itself is still called a Mishkan. So where do you find in the Torah that the Mishkan is called a Migdash? Ela Mehacha. At the beginning of Parshas Truma, the Torah says, V'yasuli Migdash, V'shachanti B'socham. And the mitzvah of building the Mishkan is formulated here in this pasuk, and it says Asuli Migdash. So the Torah explicitly used the word Migdash to refer to the Mishkan. Now, one thing that's not clear from this sugya, I understand why it's critical to find that the Migdash is called a Mishkan, which we derive from the pasuk Nasati Es Mishkani B'Solchachem, so that we can derive halachas and migdash from Mishkan. Like, for example, the Shechitas Hashlamim would only be valid if the Dalsos Psuchos. And that's halachas and migdash that's derived from Mishkan. But the other way around, that the Mishkan itself is called a migdash, what halachic ramifications does that have? And right now, the only thing that we know of for sure is that the pasuk that says v'shachato pesach ol moed, that tells me that there is a pesach in the ol moed, and now we fast forward to the migdash, and there we're going to derive the conclusion of Esrim Amah. But that really doesn't satisfy us, because in fact the Pesach Leol Moed in the Mishkan was only 10 Amos high. Anyway, that's a question that has to be addressed. Okay. Now, the Gemara talks about another entity in the Mishkan, which is called the Chatzer, and that also had a Pesach. And it's the Pesach of the Chatzah Mishkan was much lower than the Pesach of the Heichal in the Migdash. So the Gemara asks, Bein l'Rabbanan, Bein l'Rabbi Yehuda, Lelfu, Mi Pesach Shar HaChotzer. The Torah uses the word Pesach to describe the Shar HaChotzer. And the Chotzer had a Pesach. Now, the Gemara wants to know the following. We said in our Mishnah that the maximum width of the entrance of a Mavui is 10 Amos. Correct? As we said in the Mishnah, Pesach, Afal Pishu Rachav may 10 Amos, right? According to Chacham, I should say, is Yemayit. So that the Rochav is maximum of 10 Amos. However, we're going to try to prove now that the Pesach of the Chatzer in the Mishkan was much wider than 10 Amos. In fact, it was 20 Amos. It was exactly twice the amount, and yet it's called a Pesach. Dichsiv, how do we know about the width of the Pesach Shara Chatzer? The Torah says, Orech HaChotzer Mea Bi'Amo V'Rochav Chamishim B'Chamishim. Well, the extra word Chamishim here is an embellishment, but it means that the width of the Shar HaChotzer was 50 Amos. So the Orech of the Shar HaChotzer, the Orech of the Chotzer, excuse me, was 100 Amos. The Rochav, the width of the entranceway into the Chotzer was Chamishim Amah. Vikoma, and there were curtains around the Chatzara Mishkan, they were Chamesh Amos. They were 5 Amos high. But one thing is clear, that the Rochav of the Chatzar Mishkan was 50 Amah. Uksiv, and the Torah says, with regard to the measurements of the curtains that surrounded the Chatzar Mishkan, it says that Chamesh Esrei Amo Kloim Lekotev, which means that there were 15 Amo of curtains on the side of the Pesach, and there were 15 Amo of Kloim of curtains on the other side of the Pesach. Now, if the Pesach was 50 Amah wide, and we want to know how wide is the opening into the Chatzar Mishkan, we're going to subtract 15 Amah on the right, which was closed off by the curtains, 15 Amah on the left, totaling 30 Amah, minus the 50 Amah of the width of the Pesach HaChatzar, and you're left with 20 Amah. So now we know that the width of the area through which you enter into the Chatzar Mishkan is 20 Amah. Uksiv, and the Torah says, V'lakatef ha-shenis mizeh u'mizeh l'shar ha-chotzer, kloyim chamesh yisrei Amah. That just like on one side, on one flank, call it the right side, you had the kloyim that were 15 Amah, you also had on the second flank, on the left side, another 15 Amah, and these were all curtains on the Shar HaChotzer. So we see that the Torah used the word Shar to describe the entranceway into the Chatzar Mishkan. And guess what? That entranceway was 20 Amah. So if the Torah calls it a Shar of Esrim Amah, then we should derive the conclusion that the Rochav of Pesach since between the klaim it was 20 amma. And now the Gemara says, Mala halon, just like the Pesach of the Chatzah Mishkan was chamesh berochav esrim amma afkan chamesh berochav esrim. Just like the Pesach of the Chatzar of Mishkan, which was 5 amos in height and 20 amos in width, so too here in the case of Mavui, when we want to know what's the size of a Pesach of a Mavui, it should be Gova 5 amma and Rochav Esru, and a width of 20 amma. So if you have a Pesach that has a Gova of Esrim Amo, and even if it has a Rochav of Esrim Amo, it should be kosher. Why does the Mishnah say that if the opening of the Mavui is more than 10 Amos, then we have to be Mamayedit? And the Gemara answers, Pesach Shar HaChotzer Ikri, Pesach Stoma Lo Ikri. That when the Torah used the word Pesach, it says Pesach Shar HaChotzer. We want to find a pasuk which uses the word Pesach, Stoma, without adding that it's a Pesach of a Shara Chotzer. So if you want a Pesach of a Shara Chotzer, that gives you a wider area, and the Pesach could be Esrim Amma. But if you want a Pesach Stoma, that you cannot derive from the Pesach of Shara Chotzer, and therefore, as far as the Mavui is concerned, we need a Pesach. The maximum width is 10 amos. Ebois aim of the Gemara offers another answer. Kiksiv, when the pasuk says klaim chabeshesrei amol akotev, and we derive from that conclusion that there are 15 amma on the width of the Pesach HaChotzer of klaim, and another 15 amma on the other side. No, that number 15 for the klaim is not referring to the width of the curtains, the klaim, but rather gova hudiksiv, that the height of the curtains that surrounded the Mishkan was chameshes reyama, was 15 amma. As far as the shear of the width of the klaim, the Torah doesn't say anything, and therefore we don't have any pasuk here to prove what would be the rochav of a Pesach. It's possible that the rochav would be no more than Eser Amma. The Gemara says, Gova? Is it really possible to say that the height of the klaim was 15 Amma? Vaksiv, the Torah says, Vekoma Chamesh Meos, that the height of the klaim of these curtains were 5 Amos. So if the Gova, the klaim, was only 5 Amos, it wasn't 15 Amos, how can you tell me that the 15 amos of the klaim referred to in the Torah is the height? And the Gemara answers, Hahu, that shear of 5 amos that the Torah mentions in terms of the height of the klaim is misfas mizbeach ulamala. That's the from the point of the height of the mizbeach. The mizbeach was 10 amos high, and from that height of the mizbeach, there was another 10 amos in the height of the klaim. It's almost as if the klaim, the curtains, are meant to afford privacy to the mizbeach. The mizbeach reached a height of 10 amos, and we added another 5 amos in the height of the klaim of the curtains in order to afford privacy for the kohen who's working on the mizbeach. The Gemara asks the kasha of Rabbi Yehuda mipischo shel ulam gomar. How is it possible that Rabbi Yehuda could derive the height of the Pesach HaMavui from the height of the Pesach HaUlam? Vatnan, we have a mishnah. Our mishnah says va'arachav mi'eser amos. You might. It seems from our mishnah that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the width of the entranceway into the Mavui has to be a maximum of 10 amos. Lo polig Rabbi Yehuda. We don't find that Rabbi Yehuda is mentioned as a dissenting view. He only dissents with regard to the height, and he allows it to be more than 20 amos. He doesn't say that you're allowed to have a rochav a Pesach the width of the Pesach could be more than 10 amos. And if he's deriving it from Pesach HaUlam, then the Pesach HaUlam had a width of 20 amma. So he should have expanded the width of a mavui to 20 amma. Amar Abaye, Polig Bebraisa. Even though Rabbi Yehuda's dissenting view is not codified in our Mishnah, but it is mentioned in a Braisa. Desanya, we learned in a Braisa, Ve'arachav Mei Eser Amas Yemait. Meaning, the Braisa opens up with the Tanakam of the Chachomim Shita that the maximum width of the Mavui is 10 amos. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Tzach Lemait. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can have even a width of 20 amos based on the Pesach HaUlam. So the Gemara says, "V'liflag v'masdisin." Why was Rabbi Yehuda's dissenting view in the width of the Mavui omitted from our Mishnah? The Gemara answers, "Polig begova v'adin l'rachva." Once the Mishnah records the dissenting view of Rabbi Yehuda as far as the sheer gova the Mavui, then we understand that he must be deriving his conclusion from the Pesach of Ulam. And if he's deriving from the Pesach of Ulam, then just like the Pesach of Ulam was more than 20 amos high, so too it was more than 10 amos wide. And therefore, it's implicit in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda would allow you up to 20 amos in the width of the Pesach HaMavi, just like in the Pesach of the Ulam. Vakati, the Gemara is still concerned here. Rabbi Yehuda, mi pisco shel Ulam gomar, is it possible that Rabbi Yehuda derives the dimensions of the Mavui from the dimensions of the Pesach HaUlam? V'asanya, we learned in a braisa, Mavui shehu gavoa me'esrim amma yamait. Rabbi Yehuda machshir ad arboim v'chamishim amma. V'toni bar kapar ad mea amma. So it seems that as far as the height of the Pesach of a Mavui, Rabbi Yehuda went as far as not just 40 Amma, but even 50 Amma, and according to Bar Kapora, even 100. Abishleim of Bar Kapora, I don't have to be very concerned about Bar Kapora, because we could possibly say that Rabbi Yehuda would only be Machshir up to 40 Amma height, which is the height of the Pesach HaUlam. And what it says here, Mea Amma in Bar Kapora, it's a Lashon Guzma. It's just an exaggeration. In other words, the phrase of Bar Kapora is to dramatize the fact that that Rabbi Yehuda would allow for a much higher Korah. El Rabbi Yehuda. But what about Rabbi Yehuda who's mentioned in the Brison? It says, Machshir ad arboim v'chamishim amma, my guzma. It doesn't have a guzma here. Bishlema Rabbi Yehuda arboim, gomer mipischo shalulam. I understand that it could be 40 amas in height, and that we're going to derive from the Pesach HaUlam el chamishim minole. What's the source that we could go even above the height of 40 amma as far as 50 amma is concerned? That's not a guzma. That's Rabbi Yehuda talking in this braisa. How does that stim with Pesach HaUlam, which was a maximum of 40 amma high? Amar Rav Chisda ha-masnisa this braisa ata'ise l'rav. This braisa, in a sense, confused Rav. Desanya, we learned in the braisa, Mavu shigavah me'esrim amma yoser mipischo shel heichal yemait. The braisa records the sheet of the Rabbanon that the maximum height of a mavui is going to be 20 amma. And that's going to be derived from pischo shel heichal, and if in event that the Pesach HaMavui was above 20 Amma, well, you might. He's got to lower it. Hu Sava Rav, when he read this Braisa, he thought, Min Rabbanon, the Pischo Shel Heichal Gamri, is therefore Rabbi Yehuda, Pischo Shel Ulam Gomar. He understood that if the Chachamim derived their conclusion that the maximum height of the Pesach HaMavui is 20 Amma, they derived it from Pischo Shel Heichal, then By implication, it would be Rabbi Yehuda derives the height of the Pesach HaMavui from Pischo Shel Ulam. V'lohi, says Rav Chisda, that's not true. Rabbi Yehuda mi Pischo de Molochin Gomar. Rabbi Yehuda derived Pesach not from the Torah itself, meaning not from our definition of a Pesach as we find it in the Tanakh, but rather he derived it from what he thought would be a Stam Pesach. If you want to get an opening that's very impressive, let's take a look at the palaces of the king. And the palaces of the kings would be very high. Their entranceway would be even more, would be higher than 20 amos. So Rabbi Yehuda derived it from a Pesach of Armanos Hamalochim, which is higher than 20 amos, and it would be even 40 amos, it would be even 50 amos. That's how high the openings were to the capitals, to the palaces of the kings. So that's Rav Chisda's view. If you take Rav's approach, that just like the Chachamim derived their conclusion about the maximum gova of 20 amos from the Pesach Shel Heichal, Rabbi Yehuda derived his conclusion that you go above Esther Mama from Pesach Shel Ulam, then the maximum would have to be 40 amos, because even in Pesach Shel Ulam, it didn't go above 40 amos. So that's your max of a Pesach. But, says Rav Chisda, I hold that the Chachamim might have derived it from Pischo Shel Heichal, but Rabbi Yehuda derived his conclusion from Pischo Shel Molochim, and therefore could be even higher than 40 Amo. Now the Gemara is a kash on Rav. Rav says that the Chachamim derived their conclusion about the Pesach Mavi from the Pesach Heichal, the Rabbanon Imi Pischo Shel Heichal Gmiri Libo Delosos Keheichal. We should equate the Mavui and its Pesach with the Migdash and its Pesach, the Pesach HaHeichal. And the Pesach HaHeichal had doors to it. Now we're going to need doors to a Mavui. Just like the Heichal had doors, then the Mavui should have doors, because the Chachamim, according to Rav, are establishing an analogy and a derivation of Mavui, Pesach Mavui, from Pesach HaHeichal. Why do we learn in a Mishnah later on? Hechsher Mavui. Beit Shammai Omrim Lechi Vikora. Beit Shammai hold you need both a Lechi and a Korah. Beit Sil Omrim O Lechi O Korah. One of the two is enough. But nobody says that you require dalsos, that you require doors. So the subject of that Mishnah is Hechsher Mavui. And the only requirements of Hechsher Mavui are Lechi and Korah, either both or one or the other, according to Beis Hillel. But there's no one who requires Dalsos Heichal. If we're deriving our Aloch of Pesach Mavui from the Heichal, then we should require Dalsos. So Gemara answers, Dalsos Heichal Litznius B'Alma Hu De'Avidon. The doors into the Heichal were only established for Tznius purposes, so that we can have privacy, and all the avodos that were done inside the Heichal should be guaranteed privacy. Nobody has to look into the Heichal, so we close the doors. But that has nothing to do with the definition of a Pesach. As far as the Pesach itself is concerned, the essential qualities or dimensions of a Pesach, all we need is to make sure that it's not above 20 amo, it's not wider than 10 amo, like the Pesach Heichal. The requirement of Dlossos, in the case of Heichal, that was unique to the Heichal because we had to guarantee privacy. Elameyato, the Gemara asks again a kash on Rav. If, according to the Chachamim, Rav maintains that we derive the dimensions of the Pesach Bavli from the Pesach Heichal, is lo tahani le tzuras ha-Pesach. Do a Heichal tzuras ha-Pesach have you lo? The Mishnah here at the beginning of Masechta Erevin establishes that if you have a width that's greater than 10 amos in the Pesach HaMavui, then you can solve that problem in one of two ways. Either by being memait and making sure that the width of the entranceway into the Mavui would be less than 10 amos, or alternatively, even if it's a width of more than 10 amos, you just set up a Tzuras HaPesach. Now that's impossible because the Heichal itself had a Tzuras HaPesach, and nevertheless, its width was 10 amos, not wider than 10 amos. So we have to derive from the Pesach HaHeichal that the maximum width to qualify as a Pesach would be 10 amos, not beyond 10 amos. And even in a case where there's a Tzuras HaPesach, meaning the definition of a Pesach, which according to Chacham is derived from the Pesach HaHeichal, has to be derived from the Heichal. And the Heichal, despite the fact that it had a Tzuris HaPesach, nevertheless its Rochav, its width, was 10 Amos. Therefore, there's no possibility of setting up a Rochav in the Pesach HaMavui that's greater than 10 Amos, and just solving that problem with the Tzuris HaPesach. Alom HaTanan, why does that Mishnah say, Yeshlo Tzuris HaPesach? Afal Pisha Rochav Me'eser Amos, it's wider than 10 Amos. Eino Tzarech L'mayit. And the Mavui is kosher, why should it be kosher? How does the Tzuris HaPesach help you when in the Heichal itself there's a Tzuris HaPesach, and yet we derive from the Rochav of the Pesach HaHeichal that a Pesach has to have a Rochav which is up to, but not beyond, 10 Amos. So my answer is, Midi hu taima el rav. This need to give this explanation in order to understand the Mishnah is only according to Rav. Namely, that Rav assumed that the Chachamim, in defining the dimensions of the Pesach HaHeichal, derived from the Pesach HaMavi, derived from the Pesach HaHeichal. Ha-masnile, Rabbi Yehuda, l'chia, ba-rav, kamei de-rav. But, on the other hand, the story was, that Rabbi Yehuda learned this Mishnah to Chia, when he taught this Mishnah, Chia was the son of Rav, in the presence of Rav, that if the Mavui has a Tzuris HaPesach, even if it's wider than 10 Amos, is Eino Tzarech L'marv, Amar Le, and Rav corrected Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda was teaching the son of Rav, namely Chia Barav, in the presence of Rav, so Rav immediately interjected, and he said, Asne Tzarech L'mayit, you should change the Girsa in our Mishnah, and you should change the teaching that you are transmitting to my son, Chia, and what you should do is, since we derive again the Shir of Pesach HaMavui from the Pesach HaHeichal, even if there's a Tzuris HaPesach, is Eino Kosher Barochav Yosef Yasser Avos, and therefore we have to have Tzarech L'mayit. Our Mishnah says, and that's the way Rav Yehuda transmitted it to Chia bar Rav, says, Eino Tzarech L'mayit. And Rav got up and he objected, and he said, no, you should teach my son Tzarech L'mayit, that even if there's a Tzuris HaPesach, you still have to be Mamayit, the Rochav, to make sure it's up to but not beyond 10 Amos. So the reason for that is because we derive the dimensions of the Pesach HaHeichal from the Pesach HaMavui from the Pesach HaHeichal. The Pesach HaHeichal had a width of 10 Amos in its entryway, and it had a Tzuris HaPesach. Despite the fact that it had a Tzuris HaPesach, nevertheless, it could not be wider in its width than 10 Amos. And in Yitzhak Hashem, tomorrow, we're going to talk about something called an Amaltara. And we're going to begin with Elameyata, the last two words on Daf Beis. The Achronim here ask Akasha, even if the Dalsos Eichel were only Litznius, but at the end of the day, we have no proof that a Pesach without Dalsos is considered a Pesach. And the Meloah Roim answers that since we darshan from the Pasuk Pesach Ol Moed, that Bismanshu Pasuach Velo Bismanshu No'ul is Adarava, when the Dalsos on the Ulos, it's not considered a Pesach. Right? It says Bismanshu Pasuach Velo Bismanshu No'ul. It means that Pesach is even a Pesach without Dalsos. Okay, Mirz Hashem. Tomorrow we'll start with Elamiyata here on the bottom of Daf Beis, Amid Bey.